Hello everyone and welcome back to another club preview episode of the Free Kick Club Preview series. Today we are talking about the Fremantle Dockers and I'm here joined by an avid supporter of the Dockers. Mel, can you take us through Fremantle's, probably fair to say, disappointing 2025 season?
Yes. So a fun stat about Fremantle, the Dockers had the equal second largest ladder slide in 2025 down from 2024. So they finished the season last year at 11th, which is pretty disappointing. And with only an 80% percentage, which was the sixth lowest in the season as well, it really shows that they had quite a few large whackings last season. So bit doom and gloom for the start of the Fremantle episode here. But a fun fact that came out of that was that Fremantle had held this title since 2022 of being the side that the largest ever AFLW score was against. So in 2022, they lost to Melbourne for, I think, might have been 107 points from Melbourne. They got rid of that record last season in round five when Port recorded 108 points against Gold Coast. So that was great. But then within the same weekend, they regained the title of being the most whacked side when North took out 114 points against Fremantle also in that round. So Fremantle were just really holding this. They love to get a big whacking. So that's not great. But I think part of what sums up Freo's season last year is that their stoppage-centric game plan from 2024 just didn't really hold up in the light of the holding the ball rule changes that was really focusing on encouraging free-flowing footy and reducing those stoppages. And it kind of exposed that Fremantle's ball use was not up to par and they just looked a bit flustered throughout the season. So their disposal efficiency was quite low, their clangers were up significantly from last season, and their time in possession of the ball in 2025 was lowest compared to all of the clubs. So in one way, this sets a great platform for which to improve in 2026, which I'm quite hopeful for. So coming into 2026, some of the things that they want to be addressing is, firstly, their reliance on the midfield to score. So their highest goal kickers from last season were Hayley Miller and Ash McCarthy. So Hayley Miller playing a lot more forward than previously, but also Ash McCarthy, who was one of the key midfielders. So in order to get a bit more forward talent in there, they've recruited Eden Zanker in the off-season from Melbourne, which will be a very much needed forward target. And the experience she brings over will be incredibly valuable, especially given Onya Tai will not be returning this season, which is absolutely devastating news. And the second concern that Fremantle might be having coming into the season is their list age gap. So they've got a lot of their key players are getting quite old, and this was something that we were already commenting going into last season. And on the other side, they've got this young list that they're building, but it's often quite inexperienced. So as they're looking to, they'll be really focusing on getting more time and experience into some of their younger players to bridge that gap, that transition gap, so that this can be a season where they start moving back up and they don't kind of land in the spot where they've got retirements and a young list. So lots of opportunity for Fremantle coming into season 2026. The additional ins that they're bringing in, they've got Lily Johnson coming over from Melbourne, who'll be a great addition to the defence. And they traded out Dana East to Richmond. So that leaves a bit of a spot open on the wing. Overall, yeah, lots of opportunity, I'd say, for Fremantle this season.
Yeah, no, you make so many great points there. I mean, losing Onya Tai for another season, absolutely devastating. I think she's one of my favourite players to watch, so very, very sad they'll be missing her again.
Yes.
But I think that Dana East trade points out exactly that list age gap issue you were talking about, where Dana East is one of the few players that you would have sort of in that you know, mid-20s, sort of maybe a little bit on the younger side, but they're really like either really, really young or quite old. They don't have that many players in the middle, and they've just lost another one. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go this year. I suppose to figure out how they are going to go, though, best always to hear it from the team themselves. And Free Kicks Liam sat down with Gabby O'Sullivan for an interview recently, just to hear about how the preseason's going. Let's jump across to that now.
Yes, that's right, guys. We are joined by one of the inaugural Frio Dockers, Gabby O'Sullivan. Gabby, thank you so much for jumping on. It's an absolute pleasure. How are you at the moment? How are you finding preseason?
Hey, Liam. No, thanks for having me. Going well. I think we're week three into preseason, so it's starting to ramp up a little bit more. And I think we're maybe like 2 months from our first game, so it's getting exciting.
Absolutely. And look, I'm sure you're loving the fact that for one of the first times in a while, you actually got to start preseason and get a full preseason in. I remember it was maybe 3 years ago when there were people begging, pleading for a start date so the preseasons could even start. So,
yeah, I know. It was, I think, you know, with how AFLW is progressing, there's always going to be some, you know, structural things that need to happen with start dates and things like that. But, yeah, we've got our fixture now and our schedule's all set. So almost go time.
Almost go time. Well, before we talk about last season and this season, I just wanted to run our listeners through a bit of your background, have a bit of chat about it. So you were not a footballer for most of your junior career. You were a basketballer. You played college basketball over in the US. You then come across and play a couple of minutes of football in the Waffle W. How was that whole experience for you? If you could try and wrap it up in a nice little soundbite, going from basketball, having not had really much opportunity to play footy outside in most of your juniors, to then getting a call up saying, yep, you're on the rookie list, come on down.
Yeah, I know. It's like, honestly, it's so crazy when I think about it. And basketball was always actually the second option. And footy for me was the first until I was about 11. I always thought I was going to play AFL and then found out that there was no such thing for females. So gave up that dream at about 11 years old, which was quite sad. And then, yeah, to pursue basketball and then come back to Australia after being in America for a few years, like it was perfect timing for me. And, I think it was my brother or my dad that made the call to East Frio for me to go down there to train because I was too nervous to do that. And I think, I went to one training session and was then named in the league. I think it might have been the week that there was a state game on, so that helped me out a bit. And then they put me in fullback and ended up, I think, kicking the winning goal. So shout out to Wade, who probably drafted me off that.
Well, like, first of all, it's like you've read the questions I've prepared. I was going to be like, were you a footballer first and then basketballer second? Because a lot of AFLW players have talked about that. Erin Phillips kind of namely has talked about it in great detail about how she had that same experience of her dad having to tell her, look, there's no AFLW team for you to play for yet. So basketball was that option. You say as well it was your brother or your dad who called these free out. I think it's also worthwhile mentioning, much like Erin Phillips, your dad was a long-time Waffle player at East Fremantle. So there was clearly some footballing ability in the family. You then kind of jump in. You've kind of gone from that player who comes in as a rookie list, and now you're the second most experienced player in the Fremantle team. Does that feel real? Because we've talked to a couple of other players, a bit like yourself, who kind of came in, Bree Moody, Bree Hamilton and Gab Pound come to mind, as they came in as the rookies with very limited experience and now they're the mentors for everyone else. Does it feel real? Does it feel like you've somehow gained all this experience and it's all easy now?
Yeah, no, definitely not all easy now. But I think the first few years of AFLW, because it was, you know, there wasn't as many teams as there are now, not as many games and things like that, the seasons just went in the blink of an eye. So now I think it probably does feel like I've been doing this for a while now, just purely how it's all structured with how much contact time we have at the club, how young these girls are that are coming through. Like, I definitely feel like one of the old girls, and they definitely let me know about it. But
Is there a more gender neutral form of uncle, or do you just get that as the standard cry?
They do call me Unc, but then Grandma. I got a few grey hairs coming through. They just say it how it is. They just call me old, but I always point out that I'm not as old as Braz, so that usually makes them pretty quiet. But
interesting that they don't take it out on Braz. I'm surprised.
I don't know if you've ever met Braz before. You can't take it out on Braz because she'll give it straight back. But no, it's certainly surreal. And I think when you get to my age, you start really appreciating, you know, the journey that it's been, and want to hold on to it for as long as I can.
And you've had an incredible career, and you've managed to play in finals and have some massive games. Kind of want to have a chat about what your season was like last year, also Fremantle's, in multiple parts. But I have an important question for you. Hand to God, what position do you play? If you someone had to ask, what position do you play? Which assistant coach would claim you as theirs?
Well, it's hard because we've got new assistant coaches this year, and I'm not even joking, but I almost texted Lisa Webb, the coach, today to say, hey, do you want to have a chat about what position I'm looking most likely to be playing? The last two pre-seasons, I was did pre-seasons in the back line, but then I probably only started the season
two games with kick-ins and then straight into the midfield.
Do you know my first kick-in was actually a handball because I was that nervous, and that got recalled because I didn't know you couldn't do that. But
that's an incredible story. That's excellent.
Yeah. And I think it was maybe a game against Adelaide at Freo Oval one year, and we were getting smashed and I was in the back line, and they're like, right, we might put Gabby in the midfield. So they did, and then I was in the forward line. So I went across all three positions in one game. But if I was to answer your question, Matt Duffy, our forwards coach, would probably claim me.
Okay. Well, that's an excellent answer, and it is definitely tough, though. I think yourself and then I've had a chat with Lucy McAvoy before, and I think the pair of you might have claimed to be the most versatile but also most moved around players in the AFLW. Yeah. So definitely impressive. And, yeah, like you said, started the season last season, take the kick-ins, then you were a centre-bounce player for the middle portion of the season, and then you were playing forward. So interesting to kind of hear that, and kind of your transition throughout the season mirrors Fremantle. Obviously, it started with what can only be described as some pretty tough matchups back to back. Go Brisbane into North Melbourne, to then have some really like solid wins in that middle block, and then ultimately fall short again to Adelaide. You guys must be sick of playing them in finals or quasi finals at the moment.
No.
In terms of like what the playing group took away, I imagine it would have been tough to have those back-to-back Brisbane and North games. But was there a single message that you pulled out that really built and allow you to be still competing for finals kind of in the final round of the season?
I think, to be honest, and we've been focusing a lot on this in our like off-season pro block and then also pre-season now, is just really nailing the fundamentals. There was games, and I think there was one against Carlton that we really should have won last year if we could have kicked straight, if we could have executed tackles, marks, things like that. So for us, just being able to nail those basics, we would have won a couple games and might not have, lost by as much against Brizzy and North Melbourne as much as we did, although they are great teams. I think we probably made them look very, very good and us very, very bad.
Look, I think it, also that North Melbourne game, they're incredibly accurate too. So that was certainly a tough day. But, like you said, kind of looking back as I've prepared for this, there were certainly a lot of games where it was very close. You did also manage to kind of get up as well, and the Melbourne game was probably the pinnacle of the season, which kind of brings me to the player I want to talk about for what's new for Fremantle this year, and that's Eden Zanka. Not many teams get to say, yep, we've got an ex-AFLW leading goal kicker just joining us next for this new season. How do you think she's going to impact this year? an excellent player and extremely athletic, all those kind of things as well.
Yeah. No, she's amazing, and you know, you wouldn't be able to tell that she's coming into a new team because she's been vocal straight off the bat. And yeah, I've never met someone her size that's, you know, so strong, but her fundamentals are out of this world. She's, yeah, if we can get her the ball, she's gonna rip the game open, I think. And I'm quite excited if she wants to play key forward. If she decides to drop any, I'm quite excited to be at her feet there. So yeah, she's amazing. And I always hated coming up against her. Not that I was on the same side of the field, but
that'd be West a tough fight matchup.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm bloody 4 foot nothing, but yeah, she's gonna play really well this year, I think. And yeah, we're very lucky at Freo to have her.
And if she can contribute on top of the goals already coming from midfielders, so Hayley Miller again, she might have claimed a few different positions, kicked 11, smash mac with 8-7 from Ange, Gabby Newton as well. I think that it's an extremely highly scoring team kind of built in there. And obviously we're all very sad to see that Anya's not playing this season. It is handy to have someone of Eden's talent and accolades as well coming in. So I think it'll be fascinating. And I'm sure as a small medium forward, you'll love some predictable contests to hit. And it'll certainly hopefully improve Fremantle's stocks this year. Talking, going from one player with some accolades to there's some that have some new players that also have some accolades, which is best first year player, Indy Strong. And then also, I believe she won the time trial, which is Matilda Banfield, just a couple of the younger players alongside a Georgie Brisbane who looked really good in spurts, probably asked the shoulder a big load as a all key forward off as straight out of the draft. How have they, those kind of that ilk of player, looked this preseason? Is there anything the Strong family can't do as well?
Oh, my gosh. Well, no, there's nothing the Strong family can't do, even down to breakdancing. Zach Strom's our ruck coach, and on his very first training session, he got thrown in the deep end, and I think it was on the time of the Olympics, so he decided to whip out some breakdancing moves. So, now they're a great family, and Mim, when she first started, was a woman of few words, and Indy's exactly the opposite. She's as cheeky as they come, but an absolute
classic
sponge.
Younger sibling.
Yeah, exactly. An absolute sponge in the back line. Yeah, she's had a really good I was really impressed, to be honest, with her season last year. She's had a solid you know, off-season block and gotten really strong, and her skills have improved quite a bit. And yeah, Georgie Brisbane, you know, she did have to shoulder the load for Anya, who wasn't playing, but also good for her to get thrown in the deep end. And she's had a massive off-season period as well, and I'm expecting her to work really well with the likes of Zanka and Bella Smith as well, and TK back there. So and then Tilly's just runs all day. She's the same. She gets thrown anywhere and she just smiles and nods and gets it done. So yeah, those young girls, they're yeah, giving me a run for my money, but yeah, they're awesome people and can't wait to see what they can do this year as well.
Look, that's all amazing to hear, and I'm not shocked that a younger sibling would be the loud, talkative one coming from a big family myself. A quick thing, you've obviously only been playing with them for a few weeks now, but you've got some rookies coming down, so Mia Anderson, Mon Besson, Charlie Hazelhurst, Noah McNaughton, who you said you're 4 foot nothing, she might be 3 foot half.
She's
nothing.
Tiny.
Yeah. And then Aoife Haley, I don't know if she's actually arrived at training yet.
Yeah, she's my housemate, actually.
Oh, there you go. Well,
probably cooking in the other room.
From another
room. Yeah.
If you had to kind of pick one that you think stood out the most so far, you don't have to pick your housemate. Who would it be?
Well, I've got a soft spot for Noah because I was a state school girls coach when she was 15 or 16 years old. And we say that we're going to be the little mosquito fleet together. Aoife only arrived a couple of weeks ago, so we're still seeing what she's got. But I reckon with her, she's deceivingly taller than what she looked in photos. So it'll be, yeah, I think she'll go well. She's got a good tank. I think I can't go past Charlie Hazlehurst, though. She's similar to Brizzy, where she's good size, strong, and, you know, she pushed me with two fingers the other day and I went flying. So I'm expecting Charlie to go really well.
Yeah, and it, kind of reading her, what was written about her kind of before she was drafted, sounds like an athletic freak just without a natural position kind of through her juniors. So, you know, great signs for Fremantle to be able to draft someone at pick 35 with kind of that much potential. That's amazing, and our fingers crossed for some big seasons this year, yourself included. Now, we're going to do some rapid-fire questions to end this podcast. The last one is, for everyone listening at home, is this is a standard one about a breakout, but we're going to start off with, which has more tape, Kiara Bauer's knee or Gabby O'Sullivan's shoulder?
Oh, Gabby O'Sullivan's shoulder.
There we go. Sure. Who was / is the better basketballer, Gabby O'Sullivan or your former teammate, Gemma Houghton?
Oh, Gabby O'Sullivan. Crikey.
Important to note as well, if anyone wants a laugh, go and find Gabby's old Twitter, because the last tweet she did, which was 4 years ago, was watching the NBA Finals reminds me of my own basketball career. Just to clarify, a lot of missed layups and open threes.
Oh,
don't know
God,
what you're saying
yes.
there about Gemma's basketballing ability, but
no, Gemma warmed the bench, you know, more than I, you know, I don't know, I can't even say what Gemma's basketball career was, but her last competitive basketball game was in Waroona when we had a team camp down there, and she didn't know what pick and roll was, so that probably sums it up. Yeah.
There we go. And who wins in a 100-meter sprint between yourself and Emma O'Driscoll?
Oh, O'Driscoll for sure. She's I'd probably have her for the first 10, but then she just gets going.
Yeah, that is look, if I had to guess, impartially, obviously, watching the games, that would probably be my guess as well. They're both very fleet of foot, though. And then finally, the main question we ask every interviewer, or every person we interview, sorry, who's the breakout for this year? Who's the player who goes to another level at Fremantle?
Do you know, I'm going to say, I've changed my mind, I'm going to say TK, Tanisha Kikawa, because she's finally learned how to bench press. She's throwing girls around and she can kick at about 55. So, hopefully TK.
There we go. When you said learn how to bench press, I genuinely thought you were talking about in the gym, as though like before it was like kind of palm at the bar.
No, I get
what you mean now. Bench press her opponent. Yeah, look, we've certainly been someone who, like, her first season was awesome. So great to hear that she's got another level to go to. Now, Gabby, thank you so much for your time. We're all wishing you the best at Free Kick for a healthy, you know, and successful season for Fremantle and for yourself. Thanks so much for your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Liam.
That was so great to hear from Gabby O'Sullivan. I mean, one of the most experienced long-term Fremantle players, just to hear her insights, and like, she sounds like such a great person to chat to as well. So bubbly and fun. The thing that I loved the most about that was her player to watch is Tanisha Kikoak, who is someone that is very exciting as a player. And also our interviewee from last season. So a bit of a circle going there.
Yeah, it was such a lovely player to chat to last year, Tanisha. So, you know, big hopes for her this season that she can step up. And it'll probably help that, you know, Eden Zanker is now going to take the best defender. So, you know, maybe a little more opportunity for her. Very excited for that. But Mel, to jump over to our top five most relevant players, I have a question for you. Would you take Gabby O'Sullivan or your number one player on this fantasy list?
Yeah, well, I've started strong here with Mim Strom. I think that she is hard to go by as a ruck option. Last season, she was the competition's highest averaging ruck on 101.7. And that's after a down season from the season before. So she dropped her average by 12 points and she's still the highest averaging ruck. She is an incredible fantasy option for your ruck, and she's an incredible ruck. She can really do it all. Last season, her hit outs dropped significantly with the decrease in stoppages, down from 37 to 20. But with her kicks up two more per game and her tackles up half tackle more per game, she has really shifted her fantasy scoring sources and remains a incredibly impressive and attractive fantasy ruck option for that reason. I think that because she's no longer on this super high pedestal, like she's not miles above the other rucks as an option, it makes her a lot more attractive. And I really can't see her dropping off her score. She's so, as like a do-it-all ruck, she's so integral to Fremantle's midfield. And she's still young. She's still lot like opportunities for improvement, but she's so strong and dominant. I just think that she will be someone that we talk about a lot throughout the season as one of the competition's best rucks.
Yeah, no, I'm honestly, the trajectory she's been on has been absolutely insane. And to drop, you know, 17 hitouts per game, that's 17 fantasy points and still only drop 12. So really the rest of her game is just still growing. Now that that's priced in, she could just keep going. She's unbelievable. Big fan of yeah. that pick, Mel.
Thank you, so am I. And someone else I'm a big fan of is Gabby Newton, who I've put as spot number two. So she's a mid-price just shy of 100, averaging rather, just shy of 100. And wow, did she have a great season 2025. Like, she was one of a couple of new players to join in the midfield, her and Ash McCarthy, and just incredibly dominant. She showed that she can play really clean, efficient footy, which is something the Dockers kind of need and will continue to be working towards. And because of that, her average went up 16 points last season. So she's also so versatile. She can be really anywhere on the ground as well. She gets her own ball. So she was the Freo midfielder with the most intercept possessions and the most ground ball gets. She's just got everything going for her. I mean, her average already reflects this in the way that it's gone up 16 points since last season, but I think there's headroom to go. I mean, when we think about the midfielders that have an average of about 100 or so, I think that she can be the one that steps up into that next bracket much significantly yeah. more easily.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And I do think as well, you know, with the game transitioning more to the outside, if you look at all the midfielders that Freo regularly runs through the middle, I think she's got one of the best outside games. So I'm a big fan of Gabby Newton. Hopefully she can keep going to other heights. Maybe she can match the heights of our number three player on the list. Who knows?
Yep. It's Kiara Bowers. It has to be Turbo. Turbo just continues to impress me. I mean, my side has been named after her for many seasons now, and I'm a massive Kiara Bowers fan. But she's only sitting third on my list, reasonable, I would say, with 112.8 average as a midfielder. So she's 34, or she was 34 last year. She might be 35 this year. But so season 10 last year was her second highest fantasy averaging season. And that has only been trumped by her 121 averaging season in 2023. So for the 7 seasons she's played football, every single one of those has come away with an average higher than 100 in fantasy points, which is absolutely crazy, especially considering her age. And even if she does drop her fantasy average down a little bit from 112.8, she's still significantly up there. I think that last year she was coming in quite expensive, but now that she's lowered a bit, she's a good priced option. However, the downside of Kiara Bowers is that, I mean, all upside depends how you look at it. She's not very consistent. She, in that 112, has a huge ceiling of 164, which is great, but that means that to average at 112, there's some significantly lower scores in there too. And, I mean, she's great for the highs and lows. If you can time your introduction of Kiara Bowers into your side with a sweet C on top, that is an advantage that is going to be hard to match. But she doesn't really, she's not quite so set and forget as we've seen her in previous years because of this highs and lows, I would say. So I think that, you know, if what you're aiming for out of fantasy this season is, you know, a good season with your mates playing in a little league or a draft league, then Kiara Bowers is a great pick. But if you're playing aiming for a hat, she could be a bit risky for you. But she's got the upside.
Yeah, it's these players that start with, you know, such a high dollar value, right? It's very hard to start with them in your sides, but geez, it's hard to avoid some of those ceiling scores. My question for you, Mel, and this is something we haven't really talked about at all. I feel like last year those rule changes were sort of thrust upon the competition, and competition the amount of stoppages dropped dramatically. Do you think there's any chance that now that teams have had a bit of chance to plan for them, you know, they find ways around and we can see stoppage numbers rise a little bit back towards what they were? I don't think they're going to go anywhere near what they once were. But higher stoppage numbers at all, you know, for this in, for all three of the players we've talked to about so far, you know, slightly higher stoppage numbers would probably increase all of their averages. So do you think that's a realistic possibility, or is that just me being very, very hopeful that I can have these players in my side a little more easily?
I think it is a little bit, but I wouldn't necessarily bank on it as the main reason to pick these players. Like, if that's what you're hoping for in their points increase, I don't know. I'd be a little bit... I mean, Fremantle was still above average... Their average in 2024 for more, what was it? More stoppages was like significantly above average, and then they're still above average in 2025, and they haven't really moved that much. So I can't see them dropping significantly further this season. But I just, because they're still so far above average and they still play more of a stoppage game than other clubs, I'm just not sure that there's going to be a lot of increase going. But maybe it's resistance to changing the game plan. So.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough.
Yeah. On the flip side, number four, I've gone with the sister Strom, Indy Strom, the defender averaging 34.5, who had her, I believe, debut season last year. She had a very good season, actually, in her breakout year, and she showed that she was quite a fairly consistent player. So I think that she's got a lot of upside that can come with another pre-season of training. Another preseason in the side around learning off her sister as well. So in the back line, she's 10 centimetres taller than anyone else. I think she might be 185 centimetres or so. Very tall. Got a lot of great height to be utilised. And I think that's something that Fremantle will continue to look to use. So as she gets a bit stronger and a bit more experienced, I can see her role this season growing. But she already demonstrated so much talent and usefulness in the back line last season. So she led the club for defensive one-on-ones with an incredibly low loss rate. I think it was like 5%. So she is all around it, and also leading the club for spoils as well. So for such a young player to just be absolutely dominating in the defensive role, I think that this coming into this season could be the breakout year for Indy Strom.
Yeah, interesting, interesting. I mean, obviously, it's such a great debut season, and it's interesting. I feel like when players start as that lockdown defender, you know, some of them, you know, that's sort of what their career becomes. But others really blossom into these incredible intercept defenders. And I think if she can start taking some big marks back there, that's going to go a long way to jumping up. You know, maybe a 55 average. Is that the sort of thing you're thinking of?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a monumental increase, but I think she's one that you can ride at the start of the season for a bit of a boost.
Mm. Yeah, always depends on how many rookies we get in defence, right? So it's good to know we have an option like Indy there.
Yeah. Yep. And then staying in defence, I've gone with Emma O'Driscoll. So averaging 63.7, she is so consistent. With her, you're picking Emma O'Driscoll less for her potential upside, I would say, but more about like a guaranteed strong performance. She was the second best interceptor across the league in 2025, a slight drop off from being the best interceptor in 2024. So incredibly reliable there. And over the last two seasons, she has been in the top 15 highest averaging defenders across. So I don't see that changing this year. She's real set and forget potential here, which I see as a great option as we move further into the back end of the season and you just want someone that you can have hold that role, especially if there's a bit of a drop in her scoring beforehand. She is a very reliable defensive option.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So consistent back there. I think it's probably one where I would want maybe a slightly higher average from her if I was going to be starting with her. But she's a serious talent. And, you know, I suppose it depends on how you expect Freya to go this season. If you're not seeing huge improvement and the ball's going to be back there a lot, I think Emma could be a great shout.
And unfortunately, I do expect that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's always hard picking defenders from your own side in fantasy because it's just a double-edged sword. You really want the ball in their hand and you really don't want the ball in defense. So that's my review of Fremantle going into this season. What do you reckon as a bit of a host special?
Yeah, I think Freo is an interesting side. They've got a lot of players that I was looking at for the host special. I mean, Eden Zanka coming in is a huge, you know, target the club's picked up there. I think it's going to be tricky for her to improve her average from last season, given, you know, Melbourne's such a prolific inside 50 team. Mm-hmm. I was looking at Hayley Miller with the departure of Dana East, because who knows if she returns to midfield time, what that could mean, I suppose, for her scoring potential. But at the end of the day, I think it's hard to go past someone like Ash McCarthy, who's just someone that's continually underrated. I think she was one of the most consistent players last year. Like, I think if you ignore her first and last games, which were 70s, I think almost every single one of her scores from that point forward were between like 85 and 100. She's like incredibly consistent. And this is a player who we talk about being this massive tackler, and she is, but also managed to lead Freo for uncontested possessions last year. So is one of the better, I suppose, at adapting to the way the game is trending. And if Freo are going to be, you know, trying to find this new uncontested possession game style, I think McCarthy's going to be pretty crucial for that. So she's definitely one that's on my watch list to start the year as well.
Yes. And so the question at Fremantle becomes, if you had to pick two of Gabby Newton, Kiara Bowers and Ash McCarthy to start in your midfield, or to have in your midfield at any point in time, I guess, during the season, which one are you picking?
Ooh, well, I mean, I'm definitely taking Kiara Bowers, because just the insane ceiling scores that you can get there has to be one of them. But geez, it's a tough one between Newton and McCarthy. I'd probably go Newton. I think you made some great points. But yeah, Jesus, it's a close one. Where would you go?
Oh, yeah, I don't know, because you made some great points too about McCarthy's uncontested possessions. I think it's a problem of too many great options. But I am backing Gabby Newton for this season, I think.
Yeah. I think when we talk about their midfield rotation, they already run one of the tightest ones in the competition, where it's just the same players over and over again. And the only one looking to break into that really was Dana East, and she's departed the club. So, I'm not sure who's going to do that additional rotation. We could just see really, really high numbers for these midfielders going forward.
Yeah, which would be great.
Yeah,
lots to look forward to.
All right. Well, that's gonna wrap up our review of the Fremantle Dockers and their fantasy potential coming into 2026. Keep listening. Tomorrow we are jumping into Port Adelaide, so it will be a very interesting team with yet another new coach. So a little bit of an interest in that one. But otherwise, thanks for listening. We'll catch you soon.
Bye.